Hi, this is John Mosby, author of Fearful Symmetry, the essential guide to all things Highlander, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And on this show, we cover everything in the Highlander universe. And on this episode, we're covering a very special event that just ended moments ago. Lee and I will be talking about the Highlander Worldwide WatcherCon, and we're going to be doing our own little reaction show on it. And WatcherCon was just put on by Highlander Worldwide, a full virtual event. And in the days of virtual stuff's the way to go because we're still trying to be safe here in the world. First of all, I'd like to my name is Kevin. I'm your Blood of Kings Highlander podcast co-host. But I'd like to welcome Lee, my other host. Oh, God, dude. So good to have you back. And I'm tired.
I have been running all over this convention hall from room to room and. Oh, wait, no, I've been sitting in my chair for a weekend. What are you tired about?
I know, man? Right? But it's still exhausting, though. I'm a little punchy.
You just had to yell upstairs, Ma, get the meatloaf!
I know, right? Okay, so let's talk about WatcherCon. It just ended. It was awesome. We got to be part of it. We got to be a moderator slash host for several of these wonderful events. Let's first of all start. What did you think of the overall programming, Lee?
I think it was a really great overall idea. You know, obviously we had a couple of technical difficulties because this is the first time that software has been used for con. But I think this is probably the only way to get that group of people together. Can you imagine trying to get all of them to figure out a day to be, you know, to travel? And then, you know, stay in a hotel, put up with the fans, you know, eat, drink, like all the logistics of a proper con. You know, we didn't have to do that. So we could really just sit down, have a chat. You know, I mean, we talked with people that our listeners are definitely familiar with, you know, pretty one-on-one in a lot of ways. And I think it was great. You know, we had the hiccups with the software. It took him until Saturday morning for me to get the invites and the ability to log in properly. But, right. Got to shout out everybody behind the scenes that figured out ways to make things work that weren't working properly.
Yeah, Corinne was a big help, of course, and John and Carmel, and I think it was Kim and several other people. Yeah.
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 We forgot your name. We're sorry, but you guys rock.
Yeah, totally. Well, I want to go over Saturday's panel schedule here real quick. And for those of you that this will come out after everything is done, but they give you the option 48 hours after the convention to go back and rewatch some of the stuff that you did. And I'm going to be doing that because I missed a couple of these, several of them actually. But it started out, the first panel we had was Duncan and Tessa. So we had Adrian Paul and Alexandra Vandernoot, and we also had Richard Martin and John Mosby as host. That came on. And now this was one that didn't happen, right? The next one that was scheduled, Lee, because of technical difficulties, and this was you hosting the F. Bron McAsh one, right?
Yeah, and I was really bummed because this is, you know, I mean, I'm a – listeners probably know by now, but I'm a working stuntman and fight choreographer, and I really wanted to pick his brain. Did reach out to him. You know, we were trying to figure out ways to make it work. And, you know, there was a problem on his end with the interface with the microphone and the speaker. But talked to him, and he wants to come on.
Yeah, we'll get him on Blood of Kings, and we'll get our questions in because I know you really want to talk about that. Then the next panel,
real quick though, and John did kind of a impromptu, half hour panel. So I don't know if that actually got recorded, but if you want to see me and John, apologize and just sort of talk about swords for a half hour. That did happen.
That's
and we
cool.
filled up the time, and we still kept, people kept on asking us questions, and you know, people were making fun of me because I brought my visual aids. I have a big collection of swords.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
And suddenly, like, we had viewers again. So it was pretty fun.
The next panel I got to actually moderate, it was great. This was the Shadows Courage Brothers in Arms panel. And we had David Abramowitz, creative consultant, Ken Gord, producer, Stephen Gagan, the production designer, director Charles Wilkinson, who directed these episodes, and then myself. We were supposed to have Braun on, but he couldn't make it. But this was a lot of fun talking about those. And Charles Wilkinson, he's a I haven't seen him interviewed before. He's really, really cool. Provided some great behind the scenes as well. And Stephen Gagan, the production designer, did a great job talking about a lot of the sets and such. And that was really, really cool. And then I think Andy was supposed to do this one, but Andy Sloan had trouble remotely where he's from because he's in Okinawa, Japan. But we had sets in Highlander, so I took over the moderator for that with Ken and Stephen Gagan, and that was a great discussion. And there was also a really cool video that played first with Stephen showing all the different stuff. A lot of the stuff came from like the behind the scenes of those Highlander DVDs and stuff like that. So that was a great discussion. And then the next one we had was the Q&A with Alexandra Vandernoot with Alexandra and John Mosby. Did you get a chance to watch that? Because I did not.
I did. Asked a couple questions. I lived in France for a while, so I've seen like her other work.
Nice.
And, you know, kind of asked about building the character and, you know, she kind of let us know that there was some freedom with Tessa.
That's cool.
Because, you know, the way she was originally, she was just the girlfriend, as she said. And so she kind of had a little bit of input on how to play the character and really brought out the independence that we all kind of love from her.
Nice. The next panel, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch. And this is the Stone of Scone panel. Which I am assuming had to be a lot of fun. That was with Adrian Paul, of course, Elizabeth Grayson, who played Amanda, came on, Ken Gord, producer, Richard Martin, the director and host, John Mosby and Joe Brandt. Did you catch that one at all?
No? I did not. I had to work. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. The next one that came on was 11:15 AM Pacific time. And this was fascinating. I got to host this one with, Didier Bavriel. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Your French is better than mine.
Yeah, and you got it right. You
know, good. Didier Bavriel.
Yeah.
So. Well, Didier was great. He was actually, he's French, but his internet wasn't great, and he was broadcasting from Morocco. So there's a slight delay in that panel, but he was fascinating because I don't think he's ever done a Highlander convention before, and he, in some ways, is the real Watcher, working as a stills photographer on the Paris end of multiple seasons of Highlander, the series. He's worked on Highlander Raven and several other productions. And he was the guy that was taking a bunch of those pictures that we all now know, famously know. And he was a great, great interview and getting some really cool behind the scenes stuff on that. So what a cool job. This one I am going to have to go back and watch because I didn't have a chance to watch it. And this is, of course, Comes a Horseman in Rev 6-8. Grant Kempster hosted this with Adrian Paul, Tracy Scoggins, Richard Ridings, and Valentine Pelka. Did you get a chance to pick into this one at all?
I got the last half of it, and man, those guys were having fun.
I bet. That is awesome.
Well, I think they're all kind of preening a little bit too for Tracy because she still looks good.
Yeah. Tracy's beautiful. Yeah. Next we had the Q&A with Elizabeth Grayson, host John Mosby. And Elizabeth is always a great interview. She's wonderful. A little bit later, I got to in early afternoon on Saturday, I got to host, the Q&A for Richard Ridings and Marcus Testery. And that was a lot of fun when you talk about the two other guys of the Four Horsemen. And I kind of was like, I felt like they were the, they were the buddies that would kind of go off and do their own thing, you know, while you had, you know, Kronos and Mythos kind of doing their own thing and planning the world's destruction.
They're the Han and Chewie, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Luke and Leia are off kind of leading the rebellion. Han and Chewie are just there to be cool.
That was a lot of fun. I got to ask them, like, what would your characters, what kind of music would you have been into, you know? And that was a fun discussion. Very funny, those guys. And this one was, the next panel was great. It was hosted by John, and this was 2 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. And this was the Women of Highlander. Guests included Elizabeth Grayson, who played Amanda, Tracy Scoggins as Cassandra, Amanda Wiss as Randy. Then we had Gillian Horvath and Donald Leto. This was a great panel. I don't think John Mosby hardly said anything.
No, and, you know, I got to say, the more I rewatch everything, the more I really wish that they had kept Randy McFarlane on.
She was great. She was a really cool character. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, it was that panel didn't need a host. They were able to govern themselves, and they were wonderful. And they were like saying, why don't we be like, you know, the women version of the Four Horsemen? You know, let's write that story. You know.
So you're saying they don't need no man?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But they were so much fun. And sharing stories behind the set and other stuff they were working on too. It was a really, really good Q&A. The next Q&A was the Tracy Scoggins one, and Grant was the moderator for that. And then I got to do directing behind the camera. This was a lot of fun. I got to host this one, and we had Ken Gore, the producer, Clay Boris, the director, Charles Wilkinson came back, and Richard Martin. And this was a fascinating panel about you know, their side of behind the camera and working on a lot of their famous episodes that they recorded. And I also asked Ken what it was like about directing, and bringing in directors, and, you know, what, you know, how you decide on who you bring back. And that was a fascinating discussion. And, Clay has a way to kind of, make a statement, you know, when you interview him.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
Yesterday morning you texted me saying, man, I got to do 6 panels today and 2 tomorrow. I was hoping you're going to be like, man, can you help me out here? And that was the panel that I was going to ask to steal from you. I did not want to take anything away from you, but that was the one panel, you know, that one in Women of Highlander. But I mean, I got to watch and, you know,
yeah.
Apparently would not have been able to get a word in edgewise anyways. Not that I would deserve one, but yeah, that the directing panel, that just fascinates me.
My favorite episode they did a panel on, and that's Methuselah's Gift. And John Mosby was the host, and Adrian Paul, Elizabeth Grayson, David Abramowitz, Ken Gord, F. Bron McAsh. I don't know if he joined that one yet, because I didn't get a chance to watch this one. I'm going to go back and watch it, so I don't know if he was on that. And Gillian was on.
He was able to hop in towards the end.
Okay, good, because I'm going to watch that one, because that's one of my favorite episodes, so.
At one point, all you see is magnificent hair and an eyebrow.
Yeah. I got to get back on talking to a director at 4 o'clock. I was the moderator for Clay Boris and in his panel. And Clay's great. I found out that he and I have a passion for Westerns. And it was interesting to talk about that. But he was also we talked about all the episodes that he did. And Color of Authority was one of my favorites that he did. And the one episode he was a very good sport, because I talked about the episode of the fixing of the zone that we did, Lee, where we go in and fix Highlander lowest rated episodes. And he had a wonderful sense of humor about that. And we talked about that. And if you guys go back and listen to that episode, you'll see our suggestions for fixing that episode realistically. Like if there was a last minute rewrite, and Clay was
not
great,
just burning it with fire.
What's that?
And not just burning the entire thing with fire.
Yeah, he said the script was worse before he even like went in there and made some changes. So, God, can you imagine that? But he was great to talk to about that.
Well, it's like my dad says, you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now, I don't know if this went off with Rial Andrews. His
they were not able to get him.
What's that?
They were not able to connect with him.
I gotcha. Yeah. He played Haresh Clay. So that one did not happen. Okay. Now there was a small little panel. Some co-host from a, you know, Highlander podcast got to moderate this one.
Is that the one where the dude like lived out a fantasy and was trying not to be a 19-year-old dork the entire time? I think I watched that. That guy, you know, tried not to embarrass himself.
Let's talk about this. The Dwende panel and guest Adrian Paul, Anthony DeLongis, Gillian Horvath, Richard Martin, the director, and F. Bron McAsh as the Swordmaster. And my co-host Lee got to moderate this. Lee, talk about this. This was a dream come true for you.
Well, and it's, I mean, it's a full mysterious circle. You know, we were talking earlier, one of the reasons I was on the radar of Blood of Kings is there was a contest, you know, leave us a rating, you know, we'll pick our favorite. And I laid on the schmooze pretty well. But one of the prizes was you get to talk, or you guys would do a fan pick episode of your favorite episode of Highlander. And I said, Dwende. And I remember Norm, my predecessor, saying, awesome, we've been wanting to talk about that. That's my favorite episode. It was a great episode. And, you know, for both Norm and myself, it got us into Rapier and Dagger Fencing. It's, you know, it's one that's continued to kind of come back for me as a martial artist and as a stunt guy. And just to be there with, you know, Bron and Tony, you know, as a working stuntman, their names are huge in my world.
Right.
And of course, I mean, Duncan MacLeod himself, Adrian Paul. I mean, I still got long hair. I still got a Thunderbird. I got a pile of swords right here, including, you can see back there, the Clan MacLeod sword.
Right.
The Duncan's, not the crappy Connor one. For me, it was just amazing. And then being able to talk to Gillian and Richard Martin as well. It was another one of those, kind of like when I first started with you, like, yeah, I do want to talk, but like, I'm also like looking at these talking heads and I've watched all the behind the scenes. I've watched all the episodes. I'm used to them talking and me just going, yay. Yeah. So there was a few times I got a comment from Carmel after Bron and Tony had been talking to each other for a while. She's like, you need to ask somebody else a question. I'm like, I can't get them to stop.
I've been wanting to.
But that was just an absolute blast that I got to do that. I got to hear them say my name. I mean, come on, you know.
Well, you did a good job, man, because you know your craft, and you know, being able to talk to Anthony and Adrian and F. Bron about swords and stuff like that, and really getting into talking about that episode, which is probably the fan favorite episode of all time, and how that came around, and you know, being in Paris and getting that whole thing going on. And so, and Richard talking about the location shots for it and stuff like that. So anyway, well done, sir. That was a great panel.
And I wanted to mention on the panel, but where they filmed all the flamenco scenes at the beginning and the sweat lodge, that was down the street from an apartment I had when I first moved to Paris.
Nice.
And I stumbled in there one day and I'm like, this all looks familiar. And I saw the corner and I'm like, oh my God.
This is the one day. It's the one day.
Yeah. And you can actually see it in the background of one of the shots in Inception, the door to it. Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's very prominent. It's right there on the Seine near underneath one of the metro bridges going across the river. But it was the coolest thing, you know, being in there. And I wish that, you know, not that I would ever tell Tony or Bron, you need to stop talking now, but I wish I could have had a few more minutes to talk to Gillian, because there's some wonderful things that I noticed in this episode that kind of led into others,
right,
that I really wish could have picked her brain on. But
I wish I was at least a 2-hour panel, but you know, couldn't do that.
Absolutely.
Well, following that panel at 6 o'clock, there was and I want to go back and watch this when I get in chance to watch. And this was the Writer's Craft panel. John Mosby hosted it with speaking up with Gillian and Donna Leto. Those ladies really are a huge creative force behind Highlander, the TV series. And Looking forward to going back and watching that. Jim Burns, Joe Dawson himself, could not make this convention, but he did pre-record some music, and he had a selection of songs that he put together specifically for WatcherCon. Did you have a chance to watch this? Because I missed it.
I did not. I was working last night. It was starting about a half hour before I had to be at work.
Right.
last night, so.
Yeah. Go back and watch that. Now, this was one I was really sad I had to miss. Going into day two here Sunday, as the day of we're recording this, actually, I'm going to go back and watch this because my favorite villain of all time, Peter Hudson, did a panel at just past about 8:10 in the morning Pacific time with John Mosby. And we were talking about this with some other friends and fans that he's such a nice guy. And this was a really good panel. I'm going to have to go back and watch this. Did you catch this at all?
I did not because my day shift or my night shift got over at 3 a.m. So gotcha. I was
working this morning too. So yeah, I hear you. Peter Hudson came on again for Duncan's Nemesis with Peter Hudson. Ken Gord came on for that, and Richard Martin and Grant Kempster was up there to moderate it. And our friend Jonathan Melville, writer for this book right here that I'm holding up, A Kind of Magic, Making of the Original Highlander. He came in to do a panel with Ewan McNulty, and they talked about that. And they talked about a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of cut scenes from the original film as well. Make sure you check out his book, A Kind of Magic. It is wonderful. Next, we had Ken Gord and David Abramowitz, the Sunday 10 a.m. slot with host John Mosby. Those guys are obviously – this is one of the other – I have to go back and watch a bunch of these, and we have 48 hours to do so, so that's good. Now, this other panel had a bunch of, really nerdy guys on it, including myself and you, Lee, John Mosby and Grant Kempster, and then we had Joe Brandt on as well, and that was basically the fan panel. Originally we were going to talk about like our podcast and stuff like that, but we couldn't get the Highlander Rewatch guys, so we just kind of talked about our fandom and answered questions from other fans. That was a kind of a fun, relaxing panel. I loved it.
Yeah, it was kind of a little palate cleanser.
Yes.
I think sort of important too, you know, because I mean, Highlander is still going because of the fandom.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. And we did kind of address a couple questions. Why was it just a bunch of guys on the fan panel? And like you said, this was originally supposed to be for the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. But there were some good questions in there. I looked over at the crowd. I was kind of surprised at how many people wanted to hear us talk.
Yeah. And they had some great questions. Yeah. And they had some great questions too. That one was a lot of fun. I know, the Highlander reboot was a popular question. And we talked about that, and we talked about the beginning of our Highlander fandom, which was a lot of fun. And so, that was a good one. Then after that, during the same time, there's another one, another panel with Q&A with Stephen Gagan, who is the production designer for, Highlander, and Andy Sloan was on this that one as well. And then this one was a lot of fun. I peeked in on this panel, watched most of this at 12 noon on Sunday, was the Valkyrie panel. And that, of course, starred Adrian Paul. Host was John Mosby. And we had Musetta Vander, who played Ingrid. It was nice to see her. And we had Ken Gore and Richard Martin.
Yes, it was. Is still fun to see.
Oh, Musetta was beautiful. She's great. She has a wonderful smile too. It was great to see her laughing and smiling and talking.
Fantastic presence. And looking over her filmography, I'm surprised we haven't seen more.
Yeah. Yeah. I it would have been interesting to see if they didn't kill her off, what would have happened with her character, but, she was really nice on that panel. And, that was a lot of fun. Great episode too. Then there was a season one plus Band of Brothers panel with Adrian, David Abramowitz, James Horan, of course, Amanda Wiss, Stephen Gagan, and host Joe Brandt. I didn't get a chance to see this, but then this was kind of added last minute. This was the Fan Movie Projects at the 1 o'clock slot with Derek May, Andrew Modine, and Jeremy Orr. If there's guys that have been on the forefront of Highlander fan films, these are the guys to do it. And they've mm-hmm. really done a lot for Highlander fandom, and their films are awesome.
Yeah.
We had a Villains of Highlander panel at 2 o'clock. And this one switched up a little bit because we couldn't get her real Andrews who played Haresh. We had James Horan as Grayson. And then we had Anthony DeLongis on there. I think it was, who else was on there?
Ken Gord.
Yes. Ken Gord was on there, with Mosby as well, right? John Mosby.
Was it Mosby or Kempster?
It was Mosby. Okay. Yeah. So that, yeah. And then, I got to host my, 8th and final panel at 3 o'clock. And I had, Ken Gord, producer, and Andy Sloan, our location master guru, talk about Highlander locations. And I still hadn't quite figured out how to do the share stuff and figure out whose head to make larger on the screen. So I did my best, but I was able to go in through my Facebook pictures and pull up locations that Andy and I went on when I went on his tour back in 2018 to Vancouver to visit all the Seacouver locations. And then I showed several locations for when I went to Scotland and London and showed some pictures there. And it was interesting to talk to Ken about the behind the scenes of choosing locations and some of the difficulties and challenges with that.
So I got to ask, though, having seen some of these pictures for the first time in a while, I really think you should go back for that lowercase ZZ Top beard that you were rocking back then. Like, that was...
lowercase ZZ Top beard.
You didn't have the big ZZ Top, but it was there. It's the lowercase. It
was, yeah, I was experimenting with something there. It was kind of fun. It was starting to bug me after a while. You know, when you can start feeling it on your chest and you're like, what is that? Oh, it's my beard.
Yeah, I've been there.
What else do we have here? Did you check in on the Adrian Paul Q&A Sword Tips and Film? He had a panel at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
There was a problem with that. The timings kept changing on it.
Okay.
He changed his time, but they didn't change it on something.
Okay.
So it kept on saying that it was going to start all day.
Yeah. Okay.
But it didn't. I think he had only 5 people in the room, so I think they pushed it back again or something.
There was panels, like more than one panel at the same time. There was another one with a Q&A with James Horan, of course, who played Grayson, and John Mosby did that one. Did you check that one out at all?
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, listening to him talk, he does VO for a lot of video games and cartoons. And he did, I can't remember if it was Keats or Yeats, but he did just this wonderful poem at the end, or oratory. And you just suddenly realize why this guy has had such a long career.
Right.
Just amazing. And, you know, not the sort of thing you would expect at the end of, you know, kind of a 90s sci-fi show virtual panel. But I, you know, if it had been an auditorium, we all would have been silent. You could have heard a pin drop in there. It was just
James Horan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a chance to meet him at the LA convention, and he was great because I just recently see him in an episode of the Orville. He'd done several Star Trek episodes. A great guy, fan of his craft, great family man as well. Very sweet, and his role as Grayson is one of the best characters to come out of Highlander, and one of the best episodes of Highlander as well. So.
I did ask him a question that stumped him, though.
What's that?
The tougher fight, Worf or Duncan? He kind of went back and forth. Well, they're two really different fights. And he goes for 5 minutes. He's like, you know, this was, and then that, you know, and then he's like, wait, I'm at a Highlander convention. I should probably say Duncan.
Yeah. Now, the next panel at 4 o'clock on Sunday, Yuli got to moderate the Q&A with Anthony DeLongis, and you killed it. It was awesome, dude. Getting into Anthony's brain. Tell us about your experience with that today.
This was really just a kind of a dream come true hour for me. You know, if you had, there's possibility we might be able to play some of this on the podcast later on, but I'm holding up a VHS tape. I get to do this for you now, Kevin.
There you go.
My very first day on a film set ever, I was moved from an extra to a stuntman after about 20 minutes. And the fight choreographer basically gave about 50 of us a bunch of weapons and said, fight. No choreography, no safety stuff. And, you know, we were young. You know, there's a couple guys in their mid-20s, but most of us were teenagers. And I got stabbed. My middle finger knuckle, you can see that scar there.
Oh, yeah, you do have a scar there, yeah.
I got stabbed in the hand with a spear on my very first day on set. And as soon as I got back from the hospital, they're like, oh, you came back? I'm like, yeah, I still want to be in the movie. And the director's like, oh, what's going on? Because there's a crowd. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I just kind of hurt myself. Oh, what happened? I'm like, well, I got stabbed in the hand with a spear. And he's like, well, why am I just hearing about this now? And I'm like, don't know. And I ended up becoming doing a lot of the fight choreography on that. And he kind of took a back seat because of contract stuff. He was still listed as the fight choreographer.
Right.
But he was no longer in that role because that's not safe stuff. So getting back to this VHS, I realized this was going to be a thing that I wanted to do. And this was the only learning outlet I could find. And this is Broadsword for the Stage and Screen, the DeLongis Method.
That's so cool. I love that.
And it was, I've watched this hundreds of times. And after the Duende panel yesterday, I just kind of, we're in the, there's like what's called backstage where you kind of say, good job, everybody. And I just said, hey, Tony, I got this. And he's like, oh, wait. And I'm like, yeah, it's the VHS. He's like, wow, I haven't seen those in a while. And just kind of told him like, hey, 20 years of me having safe fights is because I bought that that VHS and, you know, other certifications I've had. But this is the one. And so I was able to kind of, I shilled a little bit for him. I said, hey, speaking, he's talking about safety at one point. I'm like, speaking of safety. And I just let everybody know, like, yes, you should buy this. Yes, as a working professional in the business, everything I learned in here has come in handy, not only to make fights look good, but also be safe.
I have a video that I got from Anthony DeLongis at that infamous Lakeland event. And I got Mastering the Bullwhip, volumes 3 and 4, from Practicing to Performance with Anthony DeLongis. And he signed it for me.
Dude, nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you did a great job, and Anthony was great. And I know there are some great fan questions too about working like on Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze and several other films as well. And that was fascinating hearing about his other work and stuff like that. So great job on that.
And he was very polite talking about Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Because there was there's a few things that I think Patrick was doing that he didn't like.
Right.
And just knowing all the cues that we have when we do our press stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of had a feeling this was bad.
Yeah.
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 Now I believe it. So.
Yep. Then we had the closing ceremony. There was a little bit of a delay from technical issues and such. But we had Carmel come on, our president of Highlander Worldwide, and David Abramowitz came on and did his great sign off and sang a song, his thing for us. But we also had the memorandum, the video that showed all the people that had passed away, since like the last convention. And I know the not memoriam. Everyone, what's that?
The memoriam.
Memoriam. Sorry. Wrong word, Kevin. Wrong word.
Memorandum. Yeah.
These sorry. Are... Memoriam. My brain is fried. Sorry, guys.
Too many quickenings.
Yeah, definitely. But it was it made me tear up a little bit seeing all the people that we've lost, not just actors, but fans of this Highlander family that we had. It was a nice sign off to do that. I know not everyone got to see it right away because of the technical difficulties, but I think you can go back and watch that and stuff. So, but then we decided to kind of keep the party going for like about a half an hour or so afterwards. What was cool about this online software is allowed you to go in and we had our own Bloody Kings table, a virtual kind of room. And we filled it up along with you, Lee, and myself. We had our good friend Sean Dempsey. He came in and chatted. Yeah. Shan O'Connor, Jay Wall. We had Vonda Huddleston. We had Bonnie come in and Patty. And yeah. It was fun just kind of talking about everyone's favorite moments at the convention. And we even talked about the Highlander reboot and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun. That was really cool that we could do that.
Yeah. And Patty and Bonnie, I just met today. I was, you know, in between panels. And, you know, that's the kind of the fun thing about cons is walking around and talking to people. And it's as close as you can get in virtual. So
yeah.
I just stopped in and, you know, it's me and five ladies who probably do not hang out with anybody that looks like me very often. And they're like, oh, hi, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, sorry. I just, you know, wanted to drop in. They're like, oh, well, welcome. We're just talking about fanfic. And so I just kind of sat there and listened. And, you know, especially after, you know, the question we got in the fan panel today, it's like, why is it just a bunch of dudes? You know, and we had a reason, but it, you know, it still did kind of stick in. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to stick around here. And, you know, the love they have of it is different, but, every drop is equal to, you know, what we, you and I have, you right. know, we obviously come at it from a different angle.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's, fascinating. And then, Vonda, you know, kind of finding out that, she actually sent me a message on the panel that I wasn't able to get to because Anthony can talk.
Yeah.
And that's coming from me.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, I use this video too. That I teach kids with it. I'm like, awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I remember a lot of those people that were in our group, our Bloody Kings table, putting up some really good questions. And
yeah.
You know, I know we couldn't get to everything, but the questions were a fun thing to read. And I loved how the panel allowed you to click the Q&A tab and then put your question in there. Then they had a general discussion for fans to talk while the panel was going on. But as we close this up, Lee, let's get some final thoughts here on your experience with WatcherCon.
I think it's amazing. I think it went better than I expected. You know, just using new technology like that. As I was telling people, I work in IT. If this stuff worked, I wouldn't have a job,
right.
You know, so, the few hiccups that we did have, you know, with Braun and unfortunately Riel Andrews and the closing ceremonies, that is disappointing, but that it was only those, I think is remarkable, not only for the software, but for the people behind the scenes, making it happen. And I think it's a fantastic way to do a con for a group as diverse and like widely dispersed as we are, yet so completely dedicated. I mean, where else, what other fandom are you going to talk to a guy like Steve Gagan
yeah.
and know his name and look forward to the panel for the set designer?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm thrilled, you know, if when I see Steve Gagan in something, if I see his name, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to watch that. Defiance, when it was on Sci-Fi, when they were doing, I just caught like a little coming up or like making of thing. And I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. And then I see Steve Gagan. I'm like, I'm watching this.
Yeah. And he worked on a Snowpiercer as well. So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. It was really nice to connect with people that you would maybe see commenting on your Bloody Kings post or the other fan post like Highlander Heart, you know, people that are in all these groups and having these wonderful discussions and just, you know, keeping Highlander alive. And when you were talking about like people like Steve Gagan and all the people behind the scenes, how as Highlander fans, we feel like they're part of our family as well as kind of a Highlander celebrity as well. And the people that are behind the camera are just as important to us as fans as the ones in front of the camera.
Yeah. But even like, you know, in my world, I know the name of like most fight choreographers, tons of stuntmen and all that sort of stuff. Who else, what other fandom is going to know who the fight choreographers are?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you got to celebrate him in the Highlander universe.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it occurred to me, one of the things with Braun that I really wanted to ask him, I'm like, how does it feel to like have checked off so many crazy fights off your bucket list?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get to choreograph a fight on the Eiffel Tower. You got to teach a former Miss America how to sword fight. You got to teach a member of the Who how to sword fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous what this man has gotten to do. And he's so humble.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting him down and asking him questions and just letting him go in that beautiful Canadian baritone voice of his.
He's got a wealth of knowledge that I wish that we could all just pick from, you know, and be able to retain that. So yeah, definitely.
His name may be Braun, but he is definitely the brain.
He is. Right. As we start to close things out here, just want to let people know that we are returning to the Fixening, where we fix a Highlander low rated IMDb episode. And we've been having fun with those. And we did a fan's choice. And it looks like Bad Day in Building A has won out, Lee. We're going to go in and do a Fixening on Bad Day in Building A.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it. And I just want to thank all of my fans out there for not choosing Bless the Child.
We're not done with that. We may have to go back to
that. I know, but as long as I can put it off, you know.
Another thing we're going to be doing is, and this is an episode I remember this was an episode that I know that Norman, my former co-host, wanted to do, and we just never got around to doing it. But we're going to do it now, as we're going to be doing an episode on the best Highlander quickenings. And this is like all of Highlander, not just a TV series. We're going to be picking our top five, and then we're going to have some honorable mentions, Lee. You were even asking me, like, does that count like the animated series or the Search for Vengeance movie? Like all of it.
Well, I think we know that the top one is Sins of the Father.
Sins of the Yes, yes, the Alex Raven one. Yes, we'll be discussing
that. I can think of two very good reasons that that's the best.
Are you saying that you don't have a problem going back and rewatching that episode?
I mean, I haven't so far.
Okay. All right.
I think I wore out the DVD, though.
Thank you guys all for listening. We hope that you enjoyed WatcherCon, and I hope that they can release a lot of those panels again some way, somehow. For people that didn't get a chance to do it, and that these panels will live on one way.
So, yeah, me too.
A little bit of contact information here. First of all, the Fandom Podcast Network that you can find Bloody Kings on is on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. The master feed that you can find Bloody Kings on, as well as our other shows on the network, is at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, which includes Apple Podcasts, iTunes. The Bloody Kings is also on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you check us out there. And as we said earlier, please, if you are listening to this and you are not part of our Bloody Kings Highlander fandom group on Facebook, please head over there, search us out, and we will let you in. We also have a Bloody Kings sister page for the Highlander CCG collectible card game. Make sure you check that out. You can email us at bloodykingspodcast@gmail.com. My name is Kevin. I am on Twitter and Instagram @Spartan_Phoenix. Lee, where can we find you?
Sleeping. I'm tired. Yeah, otherwise, you can catch me at Twitter and Instagram @TheWayOfTheWay.
Twitter and Instagram @TheWayOfTheWay. Two ways you can support us. Head on over to your Apple Podcast, iTunes reviews, or any other of your podcast platforms and leave us a review. Search for Fandom Podcast Network and then leave a review for Bloody Kings. Also, we have a TeePublic store where you can support Fandom Podcast Network and Bloody Kings by getting your own Bloody Kings t-shirts and other apparel. We've got some great logos up there. So make sure you check that out. All right, Lee, this has been a lot of fun, man. I'm tired, but we had a great time, and it was just a wonderful event to bring people together online in the safety of their own homes.
Yeah. And, you know, after a year and a half of no cons, it's fun to be around other fans again. I forgot how much I missed that.
Agreed. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Stay tuned for our other new episodes coming up. I'm Kevin on behalf of Lee. Thanks everyone for listening and join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Bloody Kings, a Highlander podcast. Lee's got a nice sword. He's threatening us right now. That sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are immortals. Goodbye, everyone.